When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, I guess it's just me in here. Here we go, Celtics post game from the Garden. Oh, another meltdown. Absolute collapse, and this might have been the worst one yet. 25 points against the Knicks a couple weeks ago, and now it's the Blazers. Another one of the worst teams in the league, one of the worst defenses that you'll see out there. And Celtics don't score over the last 7-19. Turned the ball over twice. That brutal miscue by Jaylen Brown in the corner. One of the most inexplicable defensive breakdowns you'll ever see. And that's your game. And we're going to find John. We're going to find Jimmy eventually. Joe Sway's here somewhere in the Garden. But I'll hold it down for a few minutes here. So people in the chat, they want me to talk you off the cliff. I got nothing to say. This is bad. I mean, this team, I thought The Athletic put it well when they talked in Jared Weiss's story about the lack of urgency. And you saw it down the stretch, settling for threes after three, after three, after three.
Bobby, saving the day. Thanks, buddy. Technical difficulties. We're back. Bobby did it.
That was unreal. Dude.
I watched the whole thing. I just couldn't get myself in, but I watched Bobby just go after it, man.
Dude, he does this all the time. He's good.
I know.
At this.
Hey, he did a good job. I don't know if you thought the stream
the
was
Jays.
Dead. I was like, no, it's look very at the much alive.
We got the Jays disappearing in the stretch, and we got the Jays, John and Jimmy, disappearing.
Whatever that guy just said is bullshit. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Do it all over. All right, sorry, guys. Technical difficulties. I believe we're back, and we'll be okay the rest of the way.
Hey, Joe, I told the story of the fourth right there. I got it all
the
in.
The story of the fourth. The kings of the fourth here. The Celtics.
I know what you're going to say, though. I didn't bring that up.
What was that?
Dennis Schroeder.
No, but look, so this is where I loved.
Her point.
I loved that closing lineup in the second quarter. It was obvious that lineup wasn't going to put up points. Every possession looked worse than the last, you know, from the 7-19 mark where they scored their last field goal of the game till the end. It was bad. You could see Romeo didn't want to shoot. Grant didn't want to shoot. No one wanted to go to the basket. Rob isn't an offensive threat. So they were all just quickly getting rid of the ball until it got into Jaylen and Jason's hands. And then they would force a shot late in the clock. It just wasn't the right lineup there when it was obvious that they couldn't get buckets. You had to adjust there. I can't believe he rode it to the
end.
I cannot believe they rode that to the end. At the 2-minute mark, you had to recognize, all right, we got to get Dennis in there. We need to create some offense in there.
Some penetration.
And here's the thing. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and you didn't create spacing, even when you
had
all those
threes. And Dennis wasn't great today, there's the moment. That's what you need him for. Like, I get why they went away from it, and it was working fine. But to close there, you have to recognize what's going on, and he didn't.
I saw a moment midway through the fourth when CJ was out on Grant. I believe one of the other Blazers was out on Pritchard out there. And even though those guys were rolling in this game, CJ's like, all right, stay in the lane here against Tatum. You know, the pack in the paint. Even though the Celtics are hitting some threes there for a little while around the third, fourth quarter switch up there, they still packed the lane. They still said, we're going to keep Brown and Tatum out of here. We're going to show them a crowd. And forced them to throw it out again and again. And the Celtics, as they probably predicted on the Portland side, went cold there. Missed five straight threes, go 0 for 7 on a little run there, and, you know, turned the ball over twice. A brutal turnover by Brown, throwing it away at one point there. So there you have it, just offensive ineptitude. And another night, I don't have the numbers in front of me, where the Celtics just fell in love with the three. They started hitting some in the second half. They got going. They felt good. And they just kept launching it. And
well, they had
good looks, but not for this team.
I know. And it's, again, and Bobby, I know you wrote about it at CLNS. You know, they actually, the attempts were down in the second half and the makes were up. They shot 21 threes. They attempted 21 threes in the first half and ended up, it was 11 for 37, you know, for the game, which isn't great. But everything else was great, and the points in the paint, and they were getting there efficiently. This is the second game in a row you're playing a team.
The passing was excellent.
This is the second game in a row you're playing a team that clearly does not have a rim protector. You are not concerned with Plumlee or Nurkic getting in the way of you getting to the basket, which means just go, man. Like, don't settle for threes, especially one, they want you to because they can't really defend the paint, and two, you suck at it. So what is the obsession? It's crazy to me.
I think it's a case.
And when
the other thing is working. Go ahead, Jimmy. You hop in here.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with what John just said. I mean, when we saw times tonight where Tatum was aggressive and driving to the hoop, it worked. He got fouled. He got to the line. He was, you know, pretty much automatic from the lines tonight. And then, like you said, they fall back into those habits. And I don't even hate some of the shots that they're taking, but he's just thinking way.
I hated the last shot. The last shot was awful.
Well, that was
classic,
kind of what they wanted, though, I think.
Classic
they got
Tatum, though.
To the switch and
he gets forced out there on the double, and he's going wide, wide, wide. I hate that shot.
Yeah,
I
mean, but he had an open look.
He did. I hate that possession. You're forcing him. He does that a lot, and he's always kind of going away from his body. But you're right. He had his feet set, and he shot it. He just sucks at shooting now. Apparently, that's the
new
reality.
Right now, yeah. I mean, there are times in his career
that he would take.
But, I mean, going back to what we had talked about off the top, that lineup, it was just so obvious. They had no cohesive, no rhythm, like no mojo. And you could just see the Blazers every possession getting more and more confident, hitting these shots. Nurkic was an absolute beast tonight. I mean, I know he's a talented player, but, I mean, damn. Like, that last 2 points that he had in the paint where he just kind of in one motion grabbed the rebound and turned and shot it up, like, they were just everywhere. They out-hustled them down the stretch.
Bobby, your lips are moving, but there's no words. Yeah.
Yeah. No, can't hear. But
no words.
Going back to what I was saying real quickly, I mean, like you said, John, you needed more offense in there. You just had to. And I know that lineup worked earlier in the game with Romeo and Grant, but it was just it clearly ran its course. And Ime has to see it. He has to
recognize it.
There's got to be some
feel.
Yeah, there's got to be a feel out there, right? Like, okay, like, you shouldn't be trying to rush Schroeder into the game with under a minute left. You know, I was standing at half court, and it's just like, why is this? Like, I should have been in the game 3 minutes before that. And it was just so obvious that they needed that extra weapon, if you will, out there. I know Schroeder's not, you know, Steph Curry. He's, you know, he's an automatic piece, but he can create for himself. He can get to the hoop. He makes defenses honest, and that's exactly what they needed. You can't go 7 minutes without scoring a freaking point and not make the adjustments.
I know. And when you don't have a ball handler late there, you're having Tatum bring it up, which means who's he going to pass to out there? Really, only Jaylen Brown is a threat, because at that point, Romeo, Grant, and Rob are zero on offense. They were afraid to do anything late. And that's what I hate. You've got to play the fourth the way you play every other quarter of the game, every other, you know, point in the game. And they just went into freeze mode, and you could see it instantly right away. It's like, uh-oh, you know, I don't know how every idiot like you and me can see that coming a mile away. And you've got a coach on the sideline who's not like, I got to switch this lineup up right now. We're offensively challenged. I mean, 100-89 at the 7 minute mark, and you don't score a single field goal the rest of the way. They did not make a basket, Jimmy. They were just free throws.
I'm listening. I understand. Yeah. No, it was painful. I was watching the game. I don't know if they're getting caught, like watching the clock and just hoping that they can just score just enough to eke this one out. But it's that fourth quarter mental toughness that Ime mentioned a couple weeks back. Nothing has changed. Like nothing. They don't seem to be learning from these losses, right? I mean, because there's been a few this season. The fourth quarter collapses, whether it's a bad start or a bad finish, they don't seem to be learning from their mistakes or adjusting. And it's not one or two guys. It's pretty much everybody from the coaches on down. Like, I don't want to sound too negative, but I mean, really, how else can you sound after a game? This was such a winnable game. Damian Lillard's out. You're playing a Blazers team that doesn't have much going right for them right now. They don't play.
This team's awful.
They're awful. I mean, for all intents and purposes. Awful. Be honest. Let's call a spade a spade. These guys are freaking awful. And you had a lead. They're on the road. You know, you're playing in front of the home crowd. You got a kind of an easy stretch of games coming up here.
This was a friggin' layup, Jimmy.
This should have been game one of like a 5-game winning streak, and instead this was a layup. Yeah, I mean, you know, what are they even going to say? What are they going to say after this game? What else is there to even say?
I sent Bobby Manning to investigate.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, I hope Bobby gets down to the brass tacks here. Gets down to business with these guys. What the hell's going on in this locker room?
You know what's funny? This game, and again, I'm basing it on at this moment the chat, but my mood also, because it mirrors it. We've shifted from anger to resignation to just totally sadness, like poor Fuzzy over here. Sad. This is
I'm not sad, John. I said this last season too.
Pathetic. I'm past angry. I mean, I'm just.
It's apathy. I said it last season too. It's apathy. Look it up.
This was this tonight though was incompetence. Okay, this was a gimme. You had to try to lose this game, and they did. And again, I hate the blame the coach stuff. Actually, the funny thing today, the shocking stat, people are always killing Ime and numbers come out. Oh, yeah. The Celtics are the best ATO team in the league. But the chat would have, you know, chat, Twitter, everybody would have you believe that he's the dumbest guy alive and he can't do anything. So, yeah, I hate that. I do think the perception, it's easy to blame the coach. In this one, I think you absolutely look at it and say, what the hell was Ime doing there?
Yeah, this had nothing to do with ATOs. This had to do with just not seeing what the hell's going on right in front of you.
And then on top of that, Jaylen Brown just absolutely, he missed like 100 layups, and then that three at the end, like, focus, guys. I mean, your best players have to have that shit locked down. What was Jaylen doing on that Covington three? I mean, like like a year one guy, like he'd never played basketball before. What was he doing?
I don't know. I mean, they also benched him for like a good chunk of the second half.
Jeez,
he wasn't in the game. I don't know if it was they benched him or Ime went with that lineup that he fell in love with.
I'm telling everybody, do not vote for the Celtics for an All-Star game. They do not deserve it, okay? Don't do it. Don't
be a homer. It doesn't even matter. I mean, none of them are going to get in because
stay home. Stay home. Be humble. Think about what you've done, okay? Look what you've done to these poor people. Here's the thing.
We come on the show after every game. And I'm not saying I'm on the show after every game, but the show is on after every game. And I feel like sometimes we say the same things, but it's because this team has fallen into so many of the same habits. So it's just like, what else can you say? They're losing in many of the same ways. It's not like they're finding new ways to lose. Although tonight was a little different because of the players that they had out there. So I guess we'll give them that. But you're losing big leads. You're losing comfortable leads. You're losing to teams that you have no business losing to. I mean, we can go back to the Timberwolves loss. That was another tough one. The loss to the Knicks was a bad one. I mean, there's a lot of them recently. I mean, And what I'm worried about, I'm not worried about it, but if I cared, what I would be worried about is that this has become the team's identity. This is what they believe is going
to happen. Losers.
Yeah, so it almost is like when you manifest, people talk a lot about manifesting in a positive way. These guys are probably at this point manifesting losses. They're envisioning how we're going to blow this game. How are, not going to pull this off. And it's coming true. way more often than it should. And that's, unfortunately, loser mentality, losing culture. And if you look back, it's not just this season. It's last season was a huge part of it. Many of the same players. You have a losing culture on this team right now. And it starts at the top. It's not one player, but it does start at the top. And it's pretty obvious to me that this isn't a group of guys that can be called winners right now. Certainly not.
They're not. You know how to win. You know who's a winner?
Josue Pavone, everybody.
This guy's
a winner. Hey, best intro ever. What's going on, fellas?
This guy's a winner.
Look at you guys. You're so like just
a real winner, as they say.
You guys are like, I don't want to do this right now. Look at you.
You're
gonna talk us off the ledge, Josue? I hope not.
I'm tired, man.
I may do something in between.
Dude, it's Friday. Everyone had a hard, long week of work. They're gonna go home, watch the Celtics, enjoy, maybe have a beer or two, and then say they gotta watch this crap. This is how they gotta end the work week. Come on.
Yeah, man.
Nobody wants that.
Not a good look, especially because they're heading back on the road. But also, you got a group of performers out of Tatum, in the sense of trying to get people the ball and trying to be productive, getting to the free throw line finally. I mean, damn, you can't be that, down the stretch with the poor execution, go scoreless for 6 minutes against this team and then expect to win. Man, Nurkic could smell a victory. He could smell the upset. And
I
thought he was obviously tremendous on both ends. He was a thorn in the Celtics side.
I know, but you've got Tatum and Brown on your team, and we're sitting here saying things like on the postgame show that Nurkic was a killer and he smelled the victory. Friggin' Nurkic.
It's because it's the Celtics, man. This is the 2021-22
I like him, but who are you allowing to be the dog? Who's the alpha here?
Nurkic is.
Tatum,
Nurkic
Brown,
is punk,
or Nurkic?
Yeah.
Nurkic, that was bubble Nurkic, man.
Nurkic just punked you, your entire team. And,
crap. I've got like two Bobbies now.
Oh, geez.
Al Horford on the bike. I thought that would lead to some production down the stretch from him. But, listen.
You had Horford on the bike?
How do I get rid of this other Bobby?
He's got to get rid of it. Or no.
Bobby, you're in there twice, buddy.
Yeah. He's got to close one of those tabs.
Dude, our internet is completely effed tonight. Our connection is completely...
Bobby, you're in there twice, buddy. You got to kill that window.
We're more poorly connected than the Celtics.
It's disappointing. And, of course, that's what Ime Udoka talked about. This one stings more than the others, he says, because he says that he saw a lot of that poor execution down the stretch that he saw back in October, He thought that coach was out of their system. What's up?
Bobby, what else? I mean, Josue, what else did he say? Did he say why he stuck with that lineup for so long?
Well, he talked about how there was positives from that lineup, but also he blamed himself a bit, He said, look, that's on me in terms of trying to get these guys to, which was sort of like contradiction of what he said about how he was surprised that they weren't executing the way they would like. He did also say that he didn't mind the three-point attempt from Jason Tatum. He thought that it was a bit out. Starting his dribble and starting his shot, but he didn't hate the attempt. But for what it's worth, I mean, I don't think that's really what the game came down to. That shot, it shouldn't have.
All right, just want to remind everybody about our exclusive wagering partner, Bet Online. Bet Online would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action in 2022. New year and new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code CLNS50 to get started. From football, basketball,
hockey, boxing, UFC, your Vegas favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available in 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Once again, that promo code CLNS50 to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit.
What are you guys saying for the last 15 minutes?
I hear you. We've been saying a lot of hurtful and mean things about the team to start. But a lot of the stuff that we've... What pisses me off the most is similar to a lot of some of these other losses, just the lack of a few things down the stretch. Execution, cohesiveness, intensity, killer instincts. I mean, I can keep going. Heart, effort. I mean, so many things are like... So many of these losses feel the same. You know, losses that they have no games, they have no business losing. This was a game they had zero. I don't think anyone thought that you were going to lose this game like midway through the fourth quarter. It just didn't feel like a game they were going to lose. They were up like, what, 8? I mean, they were kind of maybe 10. I don't even remember the exact number. Bobby's still coming in double.
Bobby and a fake Bobby.
I see a black screen. I don't see two Bobbies, but
it's just a Bobby and his pal over here to the right.
Well, let's just keep it moving with that for now. You know, this is the internet, so this is what happens.
Yeah,
Bobby, do another Twitch. Shot. Do a.
It's not. I don't have another window. It's just a ghost, I guess. Maybe Wick or Brad will appear there and.
It'd be good to hear from Wick. The more they lose these games, the closer we are to hearing from Wick, I think.
You're not going to hear from Wick. You're not going to hear from
He
Wick.
Is not going to take on the
because we get loud question. Enough. If we because get loud enough, I'm gonna start that up next week. That's my homework. I'm going to start Let's Hear From Wick talk, and I guarantee you we will hear from Wick. Guarantee you.
I haven't seen him or Pegs or any of them around the arena. I mean, I'm way up here, but
at this point, he has every right to say, I'm not spending a dime on this team, and who's going to question him, you know? Yep. So, you know, I get it at this point. It goes
and this
against
is what I talked about, John. Like tonight, you get the shooting, you get the playmaking, you get all that stuff, and there's just something intangible they're missing late, like Jimmy was just talking about there. You can make a move, you can make an addition, you could get a third star. You know, be over the moon making a move like that, and there still might just be something broken here. It's really concerning the way this group has just systematically failed in fourth quarters this year. Coaching, I think you have to start looking at that a little bit.
Well, this
but it's also on the players.
This is where I was digging in here. I don't know how, you know, the entire Celtics universe can be watching that game, recognizing you got to switch out this lineup. Like we loved that lineup in the second quarter. It was obvious. It was three guys who couldn't get the ball out of their hands fast enough, and Tatum and Brown literally running into each other and then getting the ball with 6 seconds left on the clock and forcing a bad shot for like 6 straight minutes. It was so painfully clear that was not the lineup you needed in there. I loved that lineup in the second quarter. I like the idea of playing without a point guard because there isn't necessarily a true one on the roster, so who cares?
Here's the thing, John.
It wasn't working.
Does Schroeder shoot in crunch time anyway? Does he usually have the ball in his hands? I mean, he might have gotten one or two looks there, which is all
it doesn't
really
matter
needed,
if the ball swings to Schroeder and not one of those guys in that situation. He's going to be looking to attack. The other guys were the other
he does
guys
have
were,
a ball in those situations.
The other guys were terrified. He
not
has had a
games.
Ton, dude. He's had a ton of late game moments where he took more shots than the Jays, but
and everybody complains about it.
At that point, it was obvious. And I'm not, this isn't a Schroeder agenda thing. I was like, okay, cool. I like this lineup. And I loved it then. But we could see it wasn't working. So switch it. I loved that lineup. We were talking about it at halftime. I loved that five that they were playing. That's what,
they
took off with.
You can always look at something they don't go to and say, oh, that would have worked. He was awful early in the game. I mean, there was a reason he wasn't playing in the second half,
which was
fine
then, but because the game goes 48 minutes, you have to judge in this moment, am I doing the right thing? And he didn't at that point. That was the point. I had no problem with it. I liked the flow of the game, and I liked that lineup, and I liked the different things they were doing. And then you brought Pritchard in, and they hit a couple of threes, and we're like, okay, we're cooking with fast now.
Yeah.
And
you needed some energy. You needed some energy injected into that lineup, and especially if you go 6 minutes scoreless. And it, when you checked in, what was it, 20, 30 seconds left? It was
Yeah, they were in a desperation
time.
The game,
desperation time is only for guys like Tatum and Brown, you know, or a wide open look, and that's not essentially when where Schroeder shines the most. At least this season, offensively, he shines the most when he's being aggressive, when he's attacking, when he's, you know, one of the better players out there on the floor in the middle quarters, you know, or if he's red hot, if he's earned that opportunity to play in the fourth, you know, he gets that, you know. But of course, tonight wasn't one of those nights. But I thought throughout that 6 minute drought, you had to find some Schroeder.
Here's the thing:
eject something into this lineup.
And we're giving the go ahead, Bobby. I'll hit it after.
Here's what we're talking about with this team at this point, though, and what we're ultimately going to want to see is young guys getting their chance, developing, being in these kind of moments, and more spacing, more fluidity, more versatility along the perimeter in these moments.
Yeah.
I mean, so I'll give Schroeder this. He did attack twice during that huge drought against Charlotte and got two key baskets when they weren't hitting anything else late in that game. And then he, of course, had the big two threes late in that game that gave them a slight chance. So he did produce in a similar circumstance just a game ago. At the same time, I mean, the things we've been begging for all year, shooters on the floor, wing defenders, one big instead of two. I mean, they did all that in this game, and it worked. And then it's the two guys on the team that just faltered in this moment again.
They did. But the guys, like I said, the guys they were playing with got tight, and they didn't want to be they did not want to take shots late. They wanted to get the ball out of their hands into Jaylen and Jason.
And when they did, they missed.
And Jason Tatum can't freaking shoot anymore. But the problem is then the entire defense just they recognize it too. They're not dumb, and they're like, these guys aren't going to do anything, and all the attention's on those guys. Tatum can't shoot, and Jaylen Brown was on another planet tonight. I have no idea what he was doing from the moment he checked back in the fourth through the end of the game.
You didn't like that lockdown defense, John, down the stretch?
But not just that. He was useless. What was going on with him?
That miss around the rim during the
He missed 1,000 layups. He was terrible. Yeah. He was terrible.
He did that in another game, San Antonio, right? So we're talking about this month here, basically, where they're losing the awful teams, they're collapsing in many of those losses, and repeat things, like whether it be turnovers, which have just gotten out of control this month here, which is a lack of focus, I think a lack of urgency that we've read about, and missed layups, bad shot selection, falling in love with the three, which I don't feel has been a problem this year until recently. That Clippers game probably about a month ago, and the Hornets game, and here again, just these brutal habits. When I'm looking at the team and I see the lack of communication, when I'm seeing these sort of things just happen over and over again, not a real sense among anybody on the floor to pull them in a circle in a game like this where the lead's disappearing, say a few things to each other, figure something out in that moment, direct everybody, and save this game from falling away. And it really didn't look to me like they cared all that much that it slipped away. Like, there just is not a high level of urgency or care to what's happening here. It's happening again and again. You keep asking these press conferences who's going to put the foot down, and nobody does. I mean, it's just unreal at this point what they're doing in these moments. And it's happening every other game over the course of a month. I mean, this team's broken. I said it after the Knicks game. There's no other way to put it. They are just broken to the core.
I'm not going to argue with that, Bobby. I don't put a ton into the looking mad after the game because I think they are like shell shocked by it too. But you're right. I've always thought
I'm not looking for mad after. Like
I'm I've always thought I've always thought go. With t- I've always thought they're front runners. And I always thought with Tatum and Brown, they are, you get the vibe that these guys are looking for someone else to take charge, you know?
Remember, they went down by 15 early in this game, so they started awful too.
They were down early, they retook control of the game, and then like midway through the fourth quarter hit, and they just lost it. They just completely lost it, and you can't even really explain it.
Like, I don't even think Ime can explain it. I mean, he has to go up there and say the same thing after all these losses that just keep piling up this way.
And when he does blast them, people go, oh no, he's saying mean things again. He's not fixing it.
He can't do it anymore because now he's in the crosshairs too.
Yeah.
You know?
No, and he went to different lineups, and that's not going to help him either here. I mean, he's in a no win position with this group.
Oh, I thought
Romeo was playing phenomenal, so he wrote, and so was Grant. So he rode the hot hand. They just tightened up. Right. prior to the Romeo was.
I think Ime pressed all the right buttons.
Romeo was plus 31 in 16 minutes, and then over the last seven, the plus minus dropped to 17. You know, like.
No, Romeo was great tonight. I mean,
Grant, that lineup was great. It was just obviously not working. I there's no other way to put it.
By the way, Ime said he did want Tatum to pass on that last possession there. Said he got decent luck, but the plan was to either hit Rob diving or Brown pulling on the last look there. And he went for three that Ime was okay with, but they were looking to pass.
So that was the play they drew up.
Well, yeah, he said he was okay with it, but he said that wasn't the play, right?
He said they had options.
I have it right here. You want it? You want it?
Yeah, let's fire it up.
All right, hold on. Let me fire it up. I think I have this.
Yo, fire that up.
Yeah, just go.
I will fire it up. Jeez. Stop yelling at me.
No, I wasn't yelling at you. I was going to say something else.
No, he's talking about
me. You can say something else. It's going to take me a split second.
No, I was just going to say, like, if that was the play, it was out of the timeout. So what was the miss?
Probably a good play. Probably a good play. I mean, he was draped with two guys, and back and look at it.
They got Nurkic in the switch, which is, I assume, what they wanted, right? Is that what we're talking about?
The biggest reason why it was asked was because Tatum's missed 18 3-pointers in a row. So,
right.
It's so, like, was that the setup? Was that the plan all along, you know? So, essentially why you got the question.
I don't know. Let's play it. Here's Ime.
Tatum's step back three, down one. Who would you have liked to have seen on that possession? Did you like that shot?
Him really attacking Nurkic and then using him to get somebody else an open shot. You know, if he could turn the corner, he kind of bobbled it and caught it out further than we'd like it, of course. So we could be a little bit stronger there and just catch it and rip and go. We knew Nurkic was going to be up there. And then the point was Rob diving down the lane and Jalen pulling behind. And there were some openings there. But at the same time, you know, it's a semi-tough shot. He got him off balance and got a pretty open look. But we did have a few options there. And the first one was turning the corner and getting, you know, beating him downhill as he had been most of the fourth quarter.
You sense that he's missed 20 in a row. Did you sense tonight he was trying to just make one? He was just trying to snap this streak. And was that one of those situations where he's just trying to make a big play?
No, I think, you know, we put it in his hands. He had been obviously playing well, basically the point guard in most of the second half. And so I don't think it's him hunting a three specifically. Like that, he bobbled the ball and they still trapped him. You got to make the right read there, whether it was Rob or Jalen pulling behind. But, you know, our first initial was for him to get downhill and get to the basket. So I don't think he was hunting the three as much as, you know, he got off balance a little bit there and then got to a step back.
Yeah, and I'm watching the play again here. And Rob was in a crowd. There was no real look to Rob on the dive there, but Brown was wide open. And, you know, Tatum was open too, but less open. So, I don't know. Ime doesn't really say clearly there whether Tatum's shooting was a non-starter there. Maybe that was an option too, but it does feel like they wanted
something
different. It's
in his head, man. He passed one up late, and he passed it to Al, you know, or someone standing 2 feet away from him. I mean, he stopped. He stopped taking him.
Yeah.
He knows he's a mess right now.
This is bad. And they don't have spacing to go inside. You look at their mid-range percentages, as I wrote about. That's not really an alternative for this group. They're pretty bad there. Tatum's 37%. Schroeder's 37%. Richardson's 42%. Maybe you get Al in lower post situations, but usually Rob's out there with them. I mean, this is just bad. I don't know how you don't shake up this team at the deadline one way or another. You just this group, this offense – can't do it. And John, I wrote in that story too. You've been keeping an eye on this, them scoring less than 30 points in a quarter. I don't have the numbers tonight in front of me, but since the last time they played Portland, which was on December 4th, the Celtics have scored 30 or fewer points in a quarter 66% of the time, of every three quarters.
And yeah, I was looking at 40 point halves, and they had another one here, 47 point second half here after 58 in the first. And obviously, a ton of that was attributed to just simply coming, you know, screeching halt in the fourth quarter. But I mean, that's continued problem with this team, you know.
Just don't have an offense. They don't have an offensive mindset. It doesn't really feel like the coach wants them to be an offensive team, which is, if I'm going to get on Ime for anything, that's starting to become an issue here. I mean, 25, 33, 24, 23. That's brutal. And they're doing that every night.
Well, we sort of knew that they're going to have trouble having, you know, the lack of shooting, right? Lack of shooters. But you look at the two All-Stars and you're like, well, how aren't these outcomes different when you look at their, whether you want to say, you know, Jalen's hot streak, when, you know, when he can get going, he's proven that he can, you know, have big games, especially in the fourth quarter. You know, Jason is ice cold from three, but he finds other ways to score, right? And he still manages to score 27 points. And, you know, it wasn't the prettiest, but he shifted his game a bit. And it's like they're following all the things that Ime's been preaching. And
everything's got to be extreme.
We're not quite sure the identity of this team, you know, offensively. You know, we just don't know which team's going to show up or which quarter, in which, you know, aforementioned quarter, which team we're going to see, you know?
Everything's got to be the extreme with this group. The biggest collapse in the NBA. I'm sure we'll see the numbers that this is probably like the longest closing stretch a team hasn't had in the league without a bucket this year, at least one of them. The way that they do this, you know, 20 turnover games, it's always got to be catastrophic. And you just think of some of the shows we've had here where it's just like, my Lord, how did that happen? And this is like every day the last month or so. I mean, this team, this group, this Knicks, it's stale as like mold bread. There doesn't seem to be a hope for this group. Like, if we put it together, right. Everybody in Celtics land is saying this, right? If shots fall, if you do this, if you do that, blah, 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 blah. Does this group play like that? Like, we're very close to figuring it out. Let's really dive in and get this right. And they slip up, they lose, they don't really make a play here or there, and that's it. They lose again. I mean, it's just unreal what they're doing here over the last month. This year as a whole here, it's crazy. I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen a team do this for two straight years. I mean, if you're a bad team, you're a bad team. This isn't a bad team. You have two superstars.
A bad team?
You have a great defense. I mean, their attributes here, we all said this should be a 5 or 6 seed. And they just play like some of the worst.
You said 5 or 6 seed. Jimmy and I said play-in game, okay?
Well, you're below even that.
I'm saying I thought they'd be competing to get into the play-in tournament. I said worse than last year because I think the roster is worse than last year. But beyond that, it's the roster. Again, the roster isn't the problem right now entirely. Like
they didn't lose tonight because of the roster.
You got good contributions from your bench. If Jason Tatum plays and Jason Tatum actually played a pretty good game outside of the 3-point shooting, and then Jaylen Brown wasn't great late. If your stars consistently played like stars, what was the formula to the 6 seed in your mind, Bobby? Great defense, two stars playing like stars, ascending, and enough to pull it together. So of the things happening right now,
it's your stars.
It's the stars, not ascending. And everyone's going to baby them and say, it's the supporting cast and this and that. Well, the supporting cast played pretty well tonight, okay? And you got to up it. You got to step it up. You can't allow yourself to let a game like this against a clearly inferior opponent that doesn't really play defense at all. This team is terrible at defense, and you can't get a field goal in 7 minutes.
What did I say?
Better. Just do better.
I thought they were going to score like 130 tonight and everybody was going to be like, wow.
Last time you played this team, you put up 145. Yeah. Do better. I mean, come on.
I think that's what's frustrating because it doesn't matter who they're playing against. You're going to get this energy every other night. You're going to get this effort every other night, and that's exactly
the identity. This is supposed to be the easy month.
Of a 500 team.
This is supposed to be the coast. You're going to prove yourself here and ascend and show that you're better than what you were earlier in the year. You're losing to Portland, the Clippers, the Spurs, who went on to lose 5 straight after they beat you. The Magic almost had you.
Timberwolves.
Who else? Timberwolves, G League team. Clippers had a G League team that game. Wow, this is bad. The Knicks. The Knicks came back down 25 on you. This group, I don't know what they're going to do because this is not going to work.
Do not vote for them.
Who cares? I mean, even if they did,
I do.
Like, it's so much deeper than that anyway.
Be humbled. Like, be humble.
I mean, first of all, there's no them. It's either going to be Tatum or nobody. There's no them. And I don't even honestly think Tatum's played well enough to be an all-star the way it's gone recently, but maybe he gets it anyways. If he does, great. I'm not going to be upset if he does, but at the same time, like, who gives a shit? It's not about making the damn all-star team. It's about winning freaking games. And if they had a better record, we wouldn't even be talking about whether or not he gets into the game or not. They're like, that's what I can't stand about.
They should chill. I mean, they seem exhausted. Tatum, the excuse is that he's burnt out, so they shouldn't go. Even if they make it.
Even beyond that, you know what's funny is, like, it's again what you said, Bobby, has kind of lit up the chat a little bit, okay? That it's two superstars, and everyone's kind of like, "What are you talking about?
Maybe
they're not superstars."
Maybe it's not.
Maybe they're not.
Yeah. Maybe I'm not there yet. I think these guys are immensely talented. I think they score in their sleep. I think they're dynamic. I think they're what you want in the league today to start a team and build around. But their shortcomings, it seems, aren't...
Are you sure?
Listen, if you have the right roster, this could be dynamic, and we've seen it in past seasons. But it doesn't seem like they're the kind of guys that can carry a team, that can uplift them, that can make their teammates better, that can develop teammates. The key things you're looking for are your point forwards. And they could get better at that, Josue. They could. But right now, they're just not there.
We're close to shifting the narrative just a bit, right? I don't think the narrative should be if you put the right roster around these guys. It's almost like it has to be the perfect roster. That's a whole different conversation, right, guys? I mean,
you're right.
At the end of the day,
championship.
When you see the way this team is structured financially, there's almost no way you could put together a quote-unquote perfect surrounding.
Right.
No. Like, they don't have that type of – they don't have
– You would need a miracle
to do something like that, right?
That's the point. You're right. It can't happen currently, Josue.
It can.
Look at
There's
the team,
no way it
Look
can.
At the teams they've played with. That team on paper – and I know everything went wrong behind the scenes. But the team with Kyrie, Terry Rozier, Marcus Morris,
that was perfect,
Al
right.
Horford,
right.
The two Jays and Gordon Hayward
on
is
paper,
the best team – Is
That's
the best
perfect.
Team on this best team on paper this side of the Golden State Warriors over the last 10, 12 years. That team,
yes.
Give me a freaking break. You know, that you couldn't
so
do talented. Something with that.
And Tatum had a bad year that year, too.
But even three years ago, you're still talking about you know, Tatum, Brown with Hayward playing near all-star level, and Kemba Walker is the starting point guard for the all-star team. So you had basically four all-star for all intents and purposes, four all-star players or four all-star caliber players that got you to getting
that,
bounced from the conference finals. That was the ceiling.
Cover, right.
How much better are you going to get than that team?
You won't pass that. No, you might.
So
get-
like. You can't possibly add as much talent as you had there, which is Kemba Walker pre-knee problems and a Gordon Hayward caliber player. Those guys don't exist. So, and
so
since then,
you're stuck.
And John, you said it best, right? The one thing that we all relied on, or at least were confident was going to happen, was the ascension between Tatum and Brown would go another notch. And it hasn't happened this season. Let's face it, it hasn't. You want to argue they're the same and not they haven't gone down? Okay, sure, but they haven't ascended. Like, they haven't
it's
taken another step.
We
they
talk
were in
about
the
it
bonus
every year.
Too, like.
Yeah, where we talk about this is like, you know, we use those top 100 lists just as benchmarks, you know, of like where they're considered. And Tatum's knocking at the door of top 10, even though, you know, whatever, he's 13, 14, and Brown's in the 20s. And we said, in order to get there, Tatum's got to be a clear top 10 player and Brown's got to be knocking on the door. And when those two alone, you can put anybody around those guys. If you've got two players that good, playing well and healthy at the same time, you should be able to fill with spare parts. That's the formula. Load up on stars, get three if you can, a bunch of guys around them and you're okay, right? They're not. They're I mean, Brown streaky, but Tatum's regressing right now.
No,
it's going in the wrong direction.
And there are guys in the league, we talked about this maybe a couple weeks ago, there are guys this season that are taking the leap. Right. I mean, you know who they are.
Yeah, you're getting
like,
passed by people, right?
Yeah, you're getting passed by a lot of players this year that maybe you didn't think had the capabilities to pass these guys. And now they are. So all the players around them are taking this leap, and you're sitting here looking at your team, and they're stale, they're stagnant, they're getting worse, they're not fun to watch. I mean, who's having fun right now? Anybody? I don't think so. And they're not, and they don't look like they're having fun out there either. So it's exactly. Like it's like work. It's like going to work. What's up?
Guys, no, I was gonna say these guys are getting louder, but I was just gonna say, was anyone surprised by that report from the Athletics saying that like, oh, things are stale between Smart and Brown? Like, it's stale.
The whole team's stale.
The body language is there. I mean, the play in itself is stale. Everything about this team is stale. So that was no surprise, you know.
There isn't great communication, Josue. Do you ever see them pull each other together, huddle up, you know, have an intense?
How can you? One guy's on a bike.
No, I mean on the court. I mean, Tatum's always on the floor. He's on the bike for the few minutes he's off. But at some point, when you're collapsing like you were tonight,
I want to see Grant Williams or someone just talking to him while he's on the bike. That's what I want to have. They will know.
Here's what you're missing. Go ahead, Jimmy.
If you're a Celtics fan right now, this is like the equivalent of like being at a wedding and being stuck with like the boring date. And you're watching these like this hot couple on the dance floor just tear it up, and you're like, I wish we were them, or like, why can't have that fun? That's like being a Celtics fan for the last couple of seasons, and like you're stuck in this shitty relationship unless you get out of it. If you want to be that, you want to be that couple, then you got
to
change
Let's
up.
Let's go to Toronto.
Doing.
Take some freaking tango lessons. You know,
exactly.
Get going, buddy.
Go,
right.
Yeah. You know take a shot of tequila and get on the, you know, get some salsa in you, and get on the dance floor.
You know how great Toronto sounds right now? I mean, it's a little colder, but
oh man, he's gonna make them cry.
Cooler than here,
I don't know if they're ready for Rondo.
14 degrees right now.
If we're frustrated with them, imagine Rondo trying to have patience.
No, I said Toronto, north of the border.
Dude, these guys are killing me. I can't even hear you guys. Sorry.
All right, we're gonna mute you 1 second. All right. Earmuffs, big guy.
You can't watch it. I mean, you just can't watch an NBA game and not be a little jealous of the other team.
Oh,
I mean,
Memphis.
Even tonight, I'm watching Nurkic being like, wow, this guy's a freaking beast. I haven't seen anyone in the Celtics
Rob
got worked tonight.
Rob also, another weird follow on that Tatum shot. Just kind of tipped it up, didn't grab it. Could have grabbed it, went up, or got fouled or something. He just kind of tipped it over the rim. Brutal play there, fouled too much. They challenged that weird play where he shoved Nurkic in the back, which is just a useless challenge.
So dumb.
There was no awareness late, and it really not even a feeling. And I guess how could you blame them because they were in such control? But no one seemed to notice that it was falling apart or that something needed to happen to stop it. And nobody said something to each other or, you know, shoved somebody or, you know, just try to wake everybody up. It was just, let's keep doing the same thing we've been doing all game, drive and kick. I'm in this habit. I'm in this flow. There's not really an awareness to the situation. He's certainly by Tatum on that last play, not seeing Brown there, but other moments as well here. But what they had to do, they had to attack. They were in the bonus. They were missing a ton of threes there. They were turning the ball over. And like John said, this is a team that's conducive that you're playing here to getting inside and scoring or getting fouled. And Tatum did get fouled at one point down the stretch there. That's about all they got. And what can you say? They just need somebody to be able to save them in these spots. And I don't know who it is, but it's clearly and by far their biggest need. It's not Smart. It's not Schroeder. These guys have been here all year, and they haven't been able to save that. I don't know who it's going to be, but that's your biggest need going forward, certainly.
Going forward into next season, because this season's done. Toast.
Yeah. Over.
Put a fork in it, everybody.
Well, I mean,
not because of this loss, but just because of just the pattern.
There is a silver lining, John.
The silver lining is I was very worried of a 7-3 fool's gold run into the trade deadline, which might, you know, convince you to do something teeny and small that might, you know, get you somebody and then, you know, drift off into play.
You don't have to worry about that.
No, the best thing is, and again, I'm fully in the hole in the idea that you might have to burn this village in order to save it. So, I mean, you know, you've got, I'm not talking the nuclear option by splitting the Jays yet. Again, it is an off-season conversation. If you realize there is no other path to improvement, but you feel you need to shake it up. It is not plan A. Plan A would be develop or build around them, but I just don't think you have the pieces. So the first thing you start doing is just start shedding and stack some assets if you can get them. Anything and everything. And I think, again, I don't want to make this a referendum on Smart.
I think Smart's the one piece you can consider moving to get you something else you might need more and just be done with that chapter of Celtics land.
So,
and it takes you in another direction. If you're worried about stale and you've done half a season of the point guard experiment and you're like, this was obviously not going to work, do something else. That's the only thing I can think of at this point.
Well, he's not out there tonight to help them either, which is frustrating. Yeah. Don't know what's going on there. But Schroeder or Smart, that's a decision you're going to have to make there, because you're not going to be able to trade Smart for a better point guard or a replacement or anything like that. You're certainly not going to be able to trade Schroeder for a replacement.
I don't even care if Schroeder goes to, honestly. At this point, you're just trying to
– Smart Pritchard?
I'm saying anything – I don't care about the now. Anything right. – if you get rid of Smart, it's because you're bringing in somebody who is better suited to play with the Jays and who you'd rather move forward with. If you've decided you're not moving forward with this core, but you don't want to split up the Jays, at this point you're looking down the list. Who's the next guy? The next guy is Smart. That's the first move you're going to make if you've decided that the core doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, I'm just saying you can't get a point guard back from. You look across the league, nobody's trading their point guard for Smart. So you're going to get a shooter maybe, a wing. And then you got that question mark.
And then you're going to have the break up the Jays conversation in the offseason if you think that whatever pieces you get for one of them is going to make the whole better. You're going to have that conversation. If they want to stick with them, then they've got to make other moves to improve around them. There's not a lot of wiggle room. So you got to start.
That's the problem.
You got to start considering anything that's possible. So if it's Smart for, you know, Bogdanov, whatever it is, I know that's been, you know, Smart for a shooter. Maybe you do that. You do an offense-defense trade, you know?
Hey, maybe you go after Bogdanovich, certainly.
That's why Barnes. I said Bogdanovich. Right, exactly.
Maybe even John Collins, if he can push that as far as what they're going to do down there. He might be going for Simmons, but Smart, I think you really have to maximize that trade. A lot of people just want to see
Bobby,
Smart.
No, Bobby, I think you're lucky to get anything, to be fair, but... We got to stop talking about maximizing.
You could end up worse, John. Seriously. You could.
What's worse? I'm already having the worst time. Like, what could be worse?
Tonight, and certainly these recent games, Charlotte and others, have you looking at what this team's going to look like defensively without Smart. Never mind the passing you're going to lose here. Listen, I mean, what are we doing? Is it a sell? Are they moving into sell rebuild mode?
Offense. Something like that. You need offense. Offense wins games. You need offense. You
just
have
a little bit of offense.
They need shooting and they need playmaking.
Yeah, and yes, you will do it at the expense of Marcus Smart's defense, because Marcus Smart's defense he's not that guy, Bobby. He's great. He's a great guy to have on your team. But do you think Marcus Smart is eliminating a star on the other team every single night?
He would have shut down Roger on Wednesday.
I mean, he's just not that guy. He's not.
I think the numbers tell a different story, but my point is I'm all for getting rid of Smart. I mean, it's certainly looking like time here, but I'm not just throwing him away for anything for the hope that it's going to fix things. That's it. Smart's not the problem. I mean, some people think he is. Some people hate the shooting and other his worst attributes.
Smart's
but right
not
now,
the problem
okay,
in a
okay, va- Bobby, who's the problem?
Smart's not the problem in a vacuum, but he's not part of the solution at this time. And
that's true.
You have to consider that something's got to change. So again, if you keep looking at everything, it's like, you know, we're like Celtics fans are like hoarders, you know, like you got to throw a bunch of shit out your room. Like, wow, but
no,
I
just want to talk about what we're actually going to do.
You haven't played with this toy in 5 years, Bobby. Why do you still want it? You know, like, well, I want it.
You know,
I don't want to get
rid
of it.
Yeah. How you end up doing something stupid. And our old friend of the network, Ty Ray, tweeted this earlier. You end up doing something stupid by just trading someone for anybody and hoping that it works and just praying. I mean, you're not in a great spot right
now. That's not what people do. That's not what people do. What you do is you take calculated risks and leaps of faith. It is not somewhere in Celtics land, people have convinced themselves that you have to 10 out of 10 win the trade in such an obvious way that everybody who grades it gives you an A+ and the other team a C-. Otherwise you don't do it. Trade is a risk. You're doing apples and oranges thing. You're saying I'm going to remove this thing that does this for me for this thing that does that for me, thinking
for
that's going to be more important.
I'm for it, but let's just talk in specifics.
The Celtics are not going to trade somebody just to trade them. They're not going to do that. So I don't even know why we talk about that. Nobody does that.
No, I'm just saying we should talk in specifics. What are you going to get for Smart?
I don't know. What do you want to get? I don't know, but if something's out there,
it's not our job to do the deal. It's our job to just bring up.
But I mean, to Bobby's point, though, every single person you ask that question to, no one can give you an answer. So it's like, what are we talking about? Like, okay, is Marcus Smart untradeable? No, of course not. It's not like
that's my point.
But no one can give me a right straight answer. Oh, something, anything. Oh, so trade him for nothing? No, you don't trade him for nothing. Then what are we talking about?
Like, he's one of the few reliable rotation players.
No one has a single suggestion on what to do with Marcus Smart, but they all want him gone. Oh, the naysayers are. They all want him gone, but they have
okay, no idea. I'll literally, Josue, I could go down a list of 20 people. If we could get a deal done, I would do it. I just don't think you can get it. So when it comes to when nobody wants Marcus Smart, then it does become trading him for the sake of trading him because you're offloading him. If you're trading him plus picks to get rid of him, that's a dump. Okay, but if you're telling me that some team is going to give up offense for defense and this is a trade that they'd be willing to make, I could say yes to 15 different proposals right now. So it's not a matter
of happening. I mean, the guy's got a fresh deal. That's another thing too. So I don't get like the rush as if he has a year left on his contract. He's just re-upped. I'm not saying it's
I do think there's an urgency, Josue. I disagree there because he could get worse. And then you're looking at a bad contract.
I'm not saying you hold on to him to his contract year, but I mean the offseason, things change drastically. Obviously, teams are desperate or teams are in a different headspace when the season ends compared to weeks before the trade deadline or the All-Star break.
I agree with that. Don't rush to do it at the deadline.
That's when teams get thirsty and they make deals and they're more likely to say, okay, yes, we will give you that for Marcus, you know?
Yeah. Well, I know you guys don't like this deal, but it was a rumor, not a rumor, but it was just a name thrown out there. Was people were talking about Utah, and as much as we'd like Conley, there's another player, Jordan Clarkson, that some people think could be a target in a Smart type deal, but it didn't seem like you guys were too pumped with that. But maybe that's the type of a player or level of a player that you could get in return from Marcus Smart, you know, that sort of tier. You're not going to get a superstar player back for Marcus Smart. Nobody thinks that, but I think you're looking for a different fit. Now, Bob, you said Marcus Smart's not the problem. Well, no, the problem is the two guys at the top aren't consistent, aren't playing well together, not winning games, but nobody's ready to trade those two guys. So yeah, Marcus Smart might not be the problem, but like John said, he's not part of the solution either. So if you don't want to trade Tatum and Brown and you don't want to trade Rob, maybe you do want to trade Rob. Yeah, Rob's an option too, but I don't know. I mean, there was a rumor or there was a report that Rob's not available to trade right now. So, I mean, at some point, you got to fall down the line. At some point, you have to trade somebody. I mean, the way it's going right now, you can't just keep this team for another year. So,
if you get a good opportunity right now, you do it. If you don't, I think you go into the offseason, you look at sign and trade options. Jalen Brunson's a guy who's going to be out there. Others as well.
Another option is just to consider that they signed Marcus Smart this offseason because they needed to commit to him and they didn't want to lose the asset. And so that's why they did it. And not necessarily because they thought he was going to be a core, you know.
I mean, the way they've used him.
And I think they gave it a full 40-game run at the point guard spot and were like, it didn't work. It, you know, it's not an epic fail, but it didn't. We were hopeful.
Right. And you know what? It really shouldn't have. Because, like we've said, how many players just completely change who they are, right? That just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. You don't just go from being regular Marcus Smart to, you know, being being Marcus Smart to being, you know, Mike Conley. You don't just, that just doesn't happen in the NBA. And it shouldn't. Like, these guys know how to play their style of basketball, and you can't make Jason Tatum a facilitator. You can't, just like you couldn't make Kemba Walker a facilitator. Like, these guys are good at what they're good at, and it's up to the GMs to put the players together that all make what they
do. Here's
the
other concerning part, Jimmy. What's that? He's the only guy who really cares, and losing that is a killer. It hasn't worked. Listen, I'm not saying he's the solution in that part because I bet he's been screaming in these guys' ears for 3 years and just not getting anything out of them. But
yeah, and you know what? There's a common denominator that nobody wants to admit, and it's not just Marcus Smart. It's Tatum and Brown
as well.
Yeah, and nobody's ready to go there yet. So now we're chipping. Yeah. We're just sort of beating around the bush until people are ready to accept what that. Because
it's all you have. I'm 10,000% ready to go there, and you know me, I have been for a while.
Sure.
I'm not sold, but again, you ride with what you got right now. So at this point,
right, you ride with what you got.
And you're not the best thing you have, and right, and because of their limitations, the real reality is. Because of their limitations, improving around the Jays is hard. So you literally, and Fuzzy put this one in the chat earlier, we've been saying this from the get-go. The reality is you just have to hope it gets better. You have to hope the players, you got to hope this Romeo game, there's 10 more like it. You got to hope Grant is a 40%+ three-point shooter for the rest of his life. You got to hope, Nesmith.
But that's foolish, though.
But I'm saying that's way more likely and realistic than something magically happening that's going to get a third star into Boston. That is an absolute just fantasy land, not happening. It's internal improvement and then draft correctly by making and then make small maneuvers around what you have. But in order for it to work, the Jays have to get better. The kids have to develop. If they don't, then just shrug your shoulders and accept this is a shit team. And that's it. There's not a lot. It's not that complicated.
They're in a brutal spot. And you know what? I always look at the picks. You might need this year's.
You know?
Well, so...
It gets better or it doesn't. That's the wrap on the season, guys. That's our closing show for the year.
No, it's prove it or lose it. And you lost your opportunity. I think you already have of proving that this team can go somewhere and should invest in this year's group in particular. And listen, maybe that's why Wancho got dumped. They may have made that decision earlier than anybody already knew. I still think there's a way they can mix selectively selling with trying to find ways to improve given the salary and future picks that they have. I'd hold on to this year's, but you can still use future years because I think you're so far away that you got to start working on it now. You know, if someone's available,
wait a
second,
Bobby, this is when did you switch to this?
Bobby, you're the trade all the picks guy. You can't change.
You can't do that. This is my take.
Yeah.
You can't do this.
And this was my take a couple weeks ago or maybe a week ago. I don't know if it was in the chat
when did
or
you get,
show.
When did you arrive here on this island?
In a rough couple of weeks.
Let me say this real quick. You're almost like so thin and so like your future is so meek in terms of help where you almost can't even trade your draft picks because that's your only chance of finding that third star that John's saying is impossible to come here. It's
my only issue is it's going to take too long.
Even if I know, and that's the problem, but even if you get a guy, you know, there's really nobody close to who you possibly could get in the draft. So by trading two firsts for a guy like Harrison Barnes, it's like, okay, now you have Harrison Barnes, but like, this is the best you're going to get now for a very long time, for, you know, a few years. You don't have anyone to draft. You don't have anyone coming up that's really going to take this leap that we're starting.
But you got to try it, Jimmy, right? Because they haven't tried it.
I don't know.
They kind of tried it last year with Fournier, but that wasn't really – people wanted Barnes. People wanted Grant last year, guys who are really going to be part of this team for years to come and impact high-level players. You took the cheap option, the guy that you could get for 2 second-round picks on expiring. You could do that again with Terrence Ross or Jeremy Lamb or some of these
that's
types,
not my point.
But they
though.
Really haven't gone in. So, listen, like John said, we're going to get to a point where we have to start talking about Brown, and I don't want to get there before you try everything else because – you're in a bad, bad place when you get to the point where you're like, oh, they got to trade Brown. And you haven't tried other stuff. Package some picks here. Get aggressive on a guy that you really think can fit with these two players here because you haven't. The last 2 years, you lost Hayward.
Who fits with them?
And you never
Everyone's
really replaced
left.
Them.
Nobody fits. That's the problem.
I wouldn't equate 2019 to now. I mean, they're better players now, and they're on an upward trajectory still in the roles that they want them to play, so it's different. But you might be right. Maybe it doesn't work. Like I said at the beginning of the show, the way that they've performed in fourth quarters in crucial situations makes you worry that no matter what they do, it's not going to work. But you still have to try. John, my worst nightmare is you get to 2 years from now and Brown walks out the door and you never traded a single pick. Like, are you kidding me? They cannot get to that.
My biggest fear is this, Bobby, is that you get another year into this and then the general vibe and perception around Brown and Tatum isn't the 12th and the 25th best overall player in the NBA. It's the 30th and 45th. And all of a sudden you're like, oh crap, what are we now? You know, like, that's the thing, is like, these guys have to get better, or you've got to do something about, you know, like,
you
got to do something.
I don't think you're going to dip that far. My issue is,
I don't think they're going to dip that far. All I'm saying is the shine is going to be off them at a certain point where it's going to be like, we have rested on this. We've got these 19 and 20 year old, 20 and 21, 21 and 22, 20. It's going to be 26 and 27. And, you know, it's going to be like, you know, year 7 and 8 in the league. And we're going to be like, oh, just wait till these guys get it going. We got to surround them with stuff. Like, you know,
I agree, John, but
the window has closed. I mean, we said this, yes, the harsh reality was it closed. We said it before the year. The reality is they shot their shot and missed. So at this point you're doing some damage control or you need bold strokes. You got to pick which one that is. They've been doing damage control. This is year two of it. Band-aids, you know?
Yeah. Problem is everyone knows you're in a desperation spot. So you're not going to maximize any Brown trade. You're going to be facing teams that are saying, yeah, you need a trade Brown and we'll give you a little bit, but we're not giving you a lot.
I don't know. I mean, look,
if you hold on long enough, you will be.
Yeah. I mean, we've already talked about opportunities that we thought last year would be there. Like, let's say a Beal flip.
I just believe, forget the ranking of the player. I believe right now, wherever Jaylen Brown is ranked in the world of basketball players, 25, 30, I believe there's probably a bunch of people who have players who might be ranked 30 to 40 or 45 who are like, I like my guy just fine. That's the whole point, is like the idea.
Murray.
There's a lot of them. There's a lot of guys where everyone's like, my guy's good too. You know, like, yeah, you guys think Brown's good. We'll take this guy. I'm fine with him. So the point is, one-for-one swaps don't make you better. The only way, I've been saying this all year, is you break it down into pieces and say, I'm going to try to get 2 and 3 things. If one team thinks Jaylen Brown is a star that puts them over the top, then you have to start to consider.
You know who it is, John. It's Memphis.
All of these teams are Sacramento throwing out like this idea of like Halliburton and Heald and Barnes and blah, 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 and this and that for Simmons.
I don't want to become the Kings.
Would you say, okay, we need a lot of things. Would we take 3 things? Is Jaylen Brown good enough for you? You start having those conversations. You're never going to get a player in a 1-for-1 with Jaylen where you're like, we won that deal. You know, not happening anymore.
I'm scared of taking on the Kings starting lineup.
I get it. It's not perfect. All I'm saying is that's what you're looking at if you do it.
Yeah.
You're looking at a team that thinks that's my star, that's my build around guy, and I'll give you pieces for it.
Yep.
That's right. And it might make you worse and it might make them worse. I have no idea. But like
the plan is to be better, whether it takes a year or two, you know, to be significantly better. You know, I mean, that's sort of how these trades work out. I mean, we've seen the wrong side of it, right? I mean, look at what going back to the KG trade, I mean, they got so many bodies for that, but what materialized out of all those players, you know? So you can see those trades go really badly, but for someone like Jaylen Brown, I mean, you're putting yourself in the mix to bring in pieces, like you said, John, you know, whether it's the point guard position, whether it's shooting, I mean, you can address sort of a bit of everything and just see what sticks.
Yeah, right. Go ahead, Bobby.
All right.
I've said this for weeks. You can't do nothing at this deadline. You have to offload or find something that can help these guys start to play better and accomplish something this year, right? Because you're not going anywhere. You're not competing. You're not buying. You're not really loading up for a big run. You're not necessarily selling because there's still opportunities.
You said this last deadline.
Horfords and things. Yes, but this time more so, you have to selectively sell and break this down and see what you have in these young guys and go from there. And there might be nothing, and then you start to make really big changes in the offseason. But you can't stay pat here and just do this every night because you're going to waste another half season.
I can't do this every night. I can't do this every night.
No, I mean, this is wasted time for a group that doesn't have much
for
time.
For all of us here right now.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we'd be fine watching some young guys down the stretch, wouldn't we?
again
for you, Bobby.
I want whoever wants to play hard and play and like be fun. I'm down to watch because I don't even care if they win. If they're gonna lose anyways, like I'm rather them lose with some dignity.
Let's unleash Neesmith and just see what's happening there.
I was fully prepared for tonight to be the Romeo show. Like I didn't want to do. I know this show
we didn't
tonight.
Get a chance to talk. Hey,
it's still a positive here.
I know, but
that's not what we would have talked about.
That's not the vibe. This was gonna be the Romeo show. This was gonna be the show where we said Ime broke the mold, tried some new rotations we've been begging for. This was going to be such a good show that was going to be bright and sunny and optimistic. And it turned into this thing again about trading Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart.
Hey, you did that.
I know.
No one else said that.
But you watch these guys, fall apart like this. It's hard to feel anything different. But we are on to Washington on Sunday. We're going to have a slew of reporters out there. So those guys will be covering the game. It's a 3:30 start. We will have post game after. Guys, closing thoughts?
Get it together.
I'm tired.
Celtics.
My closing thought is
I want to blow out on Sunday. That's what I want. That's the closing thought. But not be on the wrong end of it.
I'm just tired of watching these guys play basketball. That's my closing thought. I need to see something completely different soon. It can be the same guys, but I need to see a different purpose out there. I can't
I don't know if it's happening with the same guys, Jimmy.
I know. I don't either, but that's what I need to see. Or I don't even care who they trade. I don't care who they trade or who they get.
Listen, I feel the same way. I'll listen to anything. Any idea. Just tweet it at me. I don't usually don't like ideas, but
tweet at Bobby. Bobby doesn't like you and your ideas, but
now I'm listening.
He's open to it.
I know. I never respond to him.
Joe Sway, final thought.
What's up?
Joe final Sway's thought.
I mean, to take away, you know, just point out some positives here. I'm sure we would have been talking a lot more about Romeo and his performance if this game was a win for the Celtics. But I mean, we can go with that, or we can go with again Tatum being aggressive, 14 attempts at the free throw line. I mean, that's Harden-esque, you know, if you will. And yeah, he's still 0-for from behind the arc, but if he's able to build on that, and guys like Romeo Langford and Grant Williams can, you know, continue to carry that momentum into the nation's capital. I mean, it should be a win. It should be. I mean, I'm not saying that with confidence, but you want to see them build on that. And I think if they don't, then I think we're going to have to really start questioning, you know, not only just the roster, but just how long will it take for Ime to essentially lose this team, you know, in their voice. And I'm not saying that, you know, something's going to go out and fire the guy, but there could be some of that if we don't see significant changes within the next week or so.
I'm gonna go the Ime route here too, because this is a development take I have. And Justin Poulin said it pretty early this year on our network on Celtic Stuff Live. I don't know if Ime. I like Ime. I think he's the right fit for the Jays. I think he's a good coach, but he might not be the best fit for this group. And it might come down to the fact that he's so defensive, he's so grounded in that being his approach for a team that's starving for offense and development on the offensive end and offensive league, as John talks about all the time. It might not be the right fit. And you don't like You don't like to do three coaches in 3 years. I think that'd be ridiculous. And then you're really just spinning around praying that something works. I think he's instituted a lot of good things this year, but he needs to adjust. Everybody's got to adjust here. The Jays, they got to be better in crunch time. The young guys, when they do get their chances, have to be better, and they're getting there. And Ime's got to be more amicable. I mean, double big. This season's half gone, and they're still doing that. Come on.
I don't disagree, Bobby, but I don't think they're playing good defense because of Ime, and I don't think they're playing bad offense because of Ime. I think they're doing both of those things because that's who they are.
They're drilling defense, big time. Switching.
I'm with you, Jimmy, the excuse making.
Oh, like nobody's the right fit. No players are the right fit.
No coaches are the right fit.
Everything is wrong except the two guys that everything is wrong about. Like
I just mentioned them, Jimmy.
Like I know, but Tatum and Brown are—they're like bubble boys at this point.
Right.
Like you know, like, and everything has to be perfect. Only certain people can ask questions too, you know, like it's got to be exactly the way you want it. I can only play with certain guys at a certain temperature, you know, like, it's got to be this coach. This guy looked at me the wrong way. I don't like it when this guy says that.
It's all you have. And you can't just swap them out and find your other young stars. I mean, that's not how it works. They're what you got going forward. And you're either going to make it work with them or they're going to leave one day and you're going to be Detroit. So that's how it's going to go. And you might get ahead and get a good opportunity, John. I just don't think it's going to be there with Jalen to the point where it makes sense.
Yeah.
So you got to figure it out and find a way to build around them and take a calculated risk, as you talked about.
My closing thought is there's nothing good about tonight, and there's nothing good about what's going on with this team right now.
Nothing.
Because anything that looks good for a little, turns to shit. It doesn't matter. Like I said, Romeo and Grant we loved, and then they literally were just scared of their own shadows in the last 7 minutes of the game. Right. Which means, like, what are you going to do with those guys if you can't use them when the game counts? And then your stars shrink at the biggest moments. And Jaylen Brown is completely lost out there and missing layups and missing defensive assignments. And Rob Williams just was brutal, and just all of these things. Like, even when they're good in stretches, they turn around and then you see the other version of the guy, and it's frustrating. So the one positive thing is you guys are sticking with us through this. You know, when we're this close to throwing in the towel. So thanks to the viewers who are still watching the games and still watching us and here joining us in the chat. We appreciate you guys. We appreciate the fire, the insight, the passions, a lot of really smart fans who understand what they're watching right now. And they're frustrated as hell, but thank you guys for hanging out with us through all of this.
Yeah. We're not going anywhere, even though the Celtics are doing their best.
We're not
get us. I want to say one last thing. I took a quick look at the Eastern Conference standings. I'm not looking at the wins loss, but just like situations of where your organization is at. I put the Celtics in like the bottom tier, like the bottom 5 out of 15 teams in the East in terms of like, is this a good situation right now? And they're down there with some bad teams, Detroit, Orlando. I put Indiana down there. I put them down there. Toss another team. Like they're not going in the right direction. There's nothing good about anything with this organization. It's been like that for 2 years.
Hey, and you know who we didn't mention? The front office. You got to take a look at that after the year too. Like, are they the guys for the future? Are they the people who need to lead this group into the future? Have they done enough? And this is still many people remaining from the Danny Ainge days. Do you really have
I can't start on that. I can't start on that. I can't do it. But yes, you do. You have to decide who you are and what you want to be.
Who's the face of the real Celtics going
forward? Is this the thing? Is it Brad's now and forever? You know, are the carryovers from the last regime still a part of this thing? How many teams hire a new GM and keep all of the assistants? Like, it's very weird. So I don't know what's going on.
Our heads are still spinning from that day after they lost to Brooklyn, where they named
it makes no sense still.
And we just all pretended that's a normal thing.
We did not. I did not pretend at all, Bobby.
We all talked about it all season.
I said it was the strangest freaking thing in the world.
We've never had a coach
fired up to GM in the like that I can ever remember.
No, but and what the crazy thing about it was it perfectly summed up last season, because when I said this before, nobody wanted to be a part of that season. Like, by the end of it, Danny Ainge was checked out, Brad Stevens was checked out, the players were checked out. I mean, not one, and it showed up that it showed because they just. Horrible.
Yeah, last year was effortless. This isn't the case this year. They're just kind of erratic.
It's trending in that same direction.
It is.
It is. Anyway, thanks again, guys. Back on Sunday with
Hey, happy Friday, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Everybody out on the town of Boston, watch out for Saturday Night Jimmy. He's coming for you, okay?
I'm actually going to Foxwoods tomorrow. I'm going to Foxwoods tomorrow.
He's coming in.
I'm going to Foxwoods tomorrow. I'm checking out the sports book. I'm going to lose, hopefully not lose too much money, but I'm expecting to lose a couple bucks. But I've heard it's legit.
Don't hesitate. Approach him. He will be ecstatic.
I've heard it's legit. I can't wait to check it out. So we'll see.
All right. Go get him, guys. Thank you, everybody, for hanging with us. Sorry for the technical difficulties early. We will see you guys on Sunday.